We welcome everyone who is joining us this evening, to both our brethren, to our visitors, and to those who are visiting from sister congregations. As always, thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing the Southeast Church of Christ and trusting that we here are giving our God our very best. Please open your Bibles to the first letter written to Peter. The first letter written to Peter, chapter 5, where we will be taking our lesson this evening, beginning at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we come before thy divine throne of grace, grateful, Father, for the many blessings that have poured upon us. Lord, we ask thee, Father, as we seek to do things in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight, that, Father, we may be able to clear our minds, Lord, of all worries and distracting thoughts. That, Lord, that perhaps if there are sorrows or there are, Father, hardships that are enduring in our hearts, Lord, that we may be able to empty them, Father, during this hour, so that we can fill them, Father, with thy word, with thy love, and with thy meekness, Father. Father, as we seek to understand, Father, how not to be easy prey for this mighty predator, Lord, please, Father, grant us the ability to understand thy word and to have, Father, the strength and the boldness so that we may apply it. Lord, forgive us, for we know that we have failed thee in one way or another. Forgive us, Father, when our faith has not been strong before temptation. Forgive us, Lord, when we have given in to our lusts and when we, Father, have allowed our pride to take over our humility. Please, Father, grant us the strength to rise from those falls. And please, Father, allow this thy servant to speak, Father, in thy name and in accordance to thy word. Forgive us once more, Father, for we pray this in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The devil is real. It's something that we cannot say enough. And it's something that even though we say often and say many times it would appear that there's some who still have the image of the cartoon that is drawn. But he is indeed real. And we know that he's real simply because God tells us that he is. We know that he's real because we've seen how the world continues to be under his mighty sway. And we see that he is real because we have been able to observe all around us how many false doctrines have risen from the work of the one of the lionesses that Satan has sent in the form of the false teachings, form of false doctrines. Because here in the first letter to Peter, we see that he is presented to us as a roaring lion. Well, this is why, if you've noticed from this morning, we did a little bit of more study into how lions hunt. We were able to see how it is that these predators are able to catch their prey. But now, tonight, my aim and my goal is for us together to learn how to strengthen our legs, how to strengthen our mind, how to have that hardened and strengthened heart, so that we may not be caught by this predator in his claws, so that we may be able to flee when necessary, but that we too may be able to resist when he seeks to entangle us in the issues of life. Remember what Paul teaches his apprentice in the faith. If you will, go very rapidly with me to 2 Timothy. And notice how this is exactly what we are trying to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Notice, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Because Satan is the master manipulator, because the devil does indeed seek to attack when we least expect it. We then have to be able to identify what makes the prey easy for them. You see, the lions, when they hunt, they don't necessarily go for any prey that they are possible. Remember, they will sit there patiently, they watch, and there's a reason why they're watching. They look to see which is the weakest link in that chain of those groups that come together when they go and drink water at the brook. They'll look either for the youngest, or they'll look either for one that is perhaps hurt, or which is the slowest, or which one is the fatted, which will be slowed down by its weight. But the lion doesn't work hard, it works smart. And that's what we have to understand with Satan. Satan isn't going to necessarily attack the stronger Christian first. The way he's going to bring the stronger Christian is by attacking the weaker one. And we see this often. We see how many times it is the weakest link that Satan attacks, like in the case of the disciples, where it was Judas who was attacked and targeted by Satan first. So when we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, we have to keep in mind, brethren, as we study this, that Peter was speaking from experience. Peter had the scars, if you will, from having survived those attacks, meaning he was the easy prey. He did not just speak as a way of giving his brethren advice, but he knew what he had done wrong and how he had been caught by this roaring lion. How perhaps he had left these scars in him. You see, brethren, notice the first thing that he teaches us. He tells us that we have to be sober and that we have to be vigilant. Go now with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Notice why Peter knew what he was talking about. Notice how he himself at one time was indeed a weak prey. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Peter was among these three who heard these words. According to Luke, we see that before Christ went further down a stone's throw, he had already told them why they should be praying. He was informing them, as we wrote in our article today, what he was about to do. How he was preparing himself both mentally, physically, and of course spiritually to be able to endure the cross. He knew that Satan was going to try to attack him because his body was going to be in pain. His heart was going to be in sorrow. And of course his mental state was going to be compromised from all the loss of the blood. But Christ prepared himself. He prepared himself with the Word of God. He prepared himself by being vigilant in prayer himself. But Peter and his disciple friends did not. Notice that Christ found them sleeping, says Luke, from sorrow. This morning we were able to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that the reason why Paul was warning the Corinthians, the reason Paul was being grieved by he who had sinned, was because he was afraid that the man would be swallowed up, that is to say, he would be consumed by too much sorrow. Many times, brethren, the same can happen to us. And we have to remember that when this happens, when we are in this hypnotized state, or in this daydream, or even in this zombie-like mentality, because we feel that the sorrow is too heavy, we feel that the hardships of life have just dazed us and confused us, well, this is what makes us easy prey for that hunter, the lion. You see, one of the things that a lion does when he starts chasing his prey, if you notice, he'll run very fast, and he won't necessarily try to jump on his prey, but he will try to throw it off balance by swiping its claws at its hind feet. He does this so that they can be tripped, so that they can be entangled, and having fallen over ground, he picks up the speed. Because of course, even though they'll try to get up as quickly as possible, he's already thrown off their equilibrium. He's already dazed them from the hit, from his claws, causing and searing the pain. Well, Peter was sorrow because his master was going to be taken from him. Peter was in sorrow because his friend, Jesus, he was about to lose. He was in sorrow and he was sleeping it off, says St. Luke, because he didn't want to think about it. He didn't want to take or accept that it was true. For those who have lost loved ones, we know the sentiment. We know what it's like to dream with them and wake up and realize it's nothing more than just a dream. No matter how much we hope, how much we pray, no matter how much we wish and desire for them to still be here, they're not. But the danger is if we stay in that state. The danger is if we remain in that state of daze, in that state of confusion. When that happens, brethren, we fall asleep. And when we fall asleep like Peter, we become easy prey. We become easy prey because we lose sight of what is important. We get bogged down and made stationary by pain and by sorrow. And like Paul was worried for that young man, we become consumed by too much sorrow. We have to make sure, brethren, that we be sober and we be vigilant. Because sorrow and pain, when it is left unannounced, when it is left to fester and to impact our lives, when we don't speak our feelings, when we don't share with one another, it will bring us down and drown us deeper and deeper into the recesses of our emotions. Peter became easy prey, and he knew why he was saying to be sober. Think about when you go underwater, and if you feel like you're about to drown, and you start flailing your limbs. Well, all the noise of the water and all the panic that is in your chest and the lack of breathing that is starting to manifest, you can't think straight, can you? You can't hear correctly. Perhaps someone is calling to you, telling you to just stand up because the water is actually shallow. But for you, you're in the deepest parts of the ocean because all you can think about is, I cannot swim. This is what was happening to Peter. This is what Luke is portraying to us and why Peter was able to say for us to be sober and to be vigilant, to be aware, to not allow the matters of life, as Paul has told Timothy, to entangle us, to not allow these issues hold us down. But then, brethren, we see, let's go up a few verses here in chapter 22. What else makes for an easy prey? Chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Notice here what made Peter an easy prey. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. He was overconfident, wasn't he? He was overconfident in his abilities. He underestimated Satan. We touched on this lightly this morning. It's interesting, right? That God, through his Son, is telling Peter, Satan is asking for you, Peter. Satan would like to test you as he tested Job. Very likely that what took place here was very similar. Perhaps Jesus choosing Peter when Jesus said, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Perhaps when he praised them for the fact that Peter was the only one of the 12 to see that Jesus was the Christ. Perhaps this was Jesus' way of recounting or retelling Job's tale of, Have you not seen my servant, Peter? Thus, Satan, in the same manner, is now challenging Christ. Well, what will happen the night that you get arrested? Will he truly be that same bold Peter whom you've renamed into Rock? Will he truly be a rock, as you renamed him? Only truly have the boldness when that night arrives. This is what Christ is telling Peter. Satan has asked to sift you. But then Christ, as we studied some few years ago, expresses his confidence in his disciple, doesn't he? When you have returned to me, you will strengthen your brothers. Christ was building Peter's faith up. Christ was trying to show Peter that he should not allow the agony or the pain or the surprise of what was about to happen to catch him off guard. But instead, what do we see Peter do? Oh, I'm ready to die with you, Lord. I'm ready to follow you. We will be crucified together. That's not what happened. His overconfidence, his ego, his pride, his false hope got in his way. See, our brother was talking about false hope, and being a Knicks fan, he knows better than anyone what that is, right? But notice, brethren, notice how false hope becomes one of the reasons why we become easy prey. And false hope doesn't mean that we're waiting for God. No, false hope means that we put our confidence in anything but God, in anyone but God. Where Christ was telling him that he was praying for him so that his faith should not fail, Peter wasn't focusing on his faith, nor was he praying to strengthen it. The fact that he slept when the Lord warned him, pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Pray so that you will be able to resist temptation. We see how Matthew tells us that Christ tells Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter still trusted in the flesh. Peter still trusted in himself. He became confident in his ability. No, Lord, not me. Perhaps all of them will betray you, but I will still stand with you in the end. I'm not running from any lion. I'm not afraid of taking on this lion. I can beat him. But Peter, you're a sheep from my flock. I can still beat him. I'll be the first sheep in history to dominate a lion. That doesn't even make sense, does it? And that's exactly what Peter was doing here. Peter thought that as a sheep, he would be able to dominate and intimidate a lion. Christ was telling Peter, you're not ready. You need to strengthen. Your faith needs to increase. You need to be more vigilant, Peter. But his eyes were not focused on the faith, were they? His eyes were not focused on Christ. His eyes were focused on his skills, his abilities, what he believed was enough to defeat the great hunter. How many times, brethren, do we make the same mistake and become easy prey? Like Peter, we believe that what we know is enough. That the 3 years, if you will, metaphorically speaking, that we spent with Christ is enough. What little understanding we have of Scripture is enough. And thus, we don't pray as we should. We don't meditate as we should. We don't worship as we should. We settle with just enough. And we become overconfident. What is indeed in the eyes of the Lord a small portion in our eyes is the greatest amount. And not only will we be able to stand fast, in our opinion, but we'll still have some left over. But again, that's how Satan hunts. Notice that when he camouflages himself, when he hides behind that wheat field where his fur and his mane blend in. Observe that what Satan is doing is he is allowing the gazelles to think that they are not in danger. He lets them drink water from the brook. He lets them drink for a while. He allows them to stand there and perhaps even sit there. And he'll even let them lie down so that they can think, or they can make themselves think that they're not in danger. He makes them believe that their speed is enough to get them free. they will be fast enough to outrun the lion, that they have what is necessary to be able to escape with their lives, because it wouldn't be the first time they've done it. And yet, one day, their speed fails them. One day, their overconfidence shatters reality. One day, they don't escape the deadly claws, the deadly blow from the lion's paw. Brethren, isn't this what happened with Samson? Isn't this exactly what happened with Samson? Isn't this what happened with David? When we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning at verse 1 and forward, how when Satan moved David to sense, to count the people, to begin a census, it was because David was confident in his military. It was because David was confident in the strength of his military. How often do we see kings who were reprimanded by God because they trusted more in other nations than they did in God Himself? They became overconfident. And this overconfidence is what made them easy prey. How many times we, brethren, fall into the same category when we rely heavily on man rather than God? Those who are children of preachers, oh, my father's a preacher, and they think that that's enough. Those who are children of elders, well, my father is an elder, and they think that's enough. But you cannot ride their curtails. You cannot ride their achievements. You cannot rely on what's protecting them, because they got to those positions by fighting for their salvation, by standing firm against the devil, by successfully resisting him. But their victories are not necessarily yours. How often do we fall prey to the same thing as Israel, as we read there in Jeremiah chapter 17, where we see the warning of God in verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in another man." But we don't only trust them. Jeremiah describes perfectly what we do more. And he puts flesh on his arm for him. That expression means that we defend them zealously. We blindly follow them. We blindly trust in them, thinking that they are perfect and that they will never fail us. That makes us easy prey. Because guess what? That man that we trust is fighting the same battles that you are. And he's putting his trust in God, who is the only one who can defeat this roaring lion. We have to be careful, brethren, that we do not become like Simon, who let his guard down because he believed that he had enough. We must not conform ourselves with just enough. We have to strive to do more than just the minimum. We have to be willing to always grow, to always become stronger, to always have a deeper understanding of the Word that is God's Word. We cannot rely on just enough, because one day it will not be enough, and we will not escape. Because we've been able to manage escape up to now does not secure that we will not fall the next time. But finally, brethren, notice here in chapter 22, and remember, all of this is coming from Peter's own experience. Chapter 22, beginning at verse 54. "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. "I'm ready to be arrested with you, Lord." But yet he was following him at a distance. "I'm ready to die with you, Lord." And yet he was fervently affirming that he didn't know him. But how did Peter end up here in the middle of all these jackals? How did Peter end up here surrounded by the enemies of Christ? You see, what makes us easy prey, brethren, is when we are separated from the rest of our herd. There is no doubt that there is strength in numbers, isn't there? But you see, another thing that a lion will do when he is hunting his prey is he signals out the one that perhaps he sees can be taken out in between two or three at the time. They won't all attack that lion, that buffalo, at the same time. They'll navigate that buffalo and they'll guide him to get him away from the rest of his herd. They'll guide him to separate him from the rest of his clan, if you will. And once they have separated him successfully, then they together attack him, using their strength and numbers against his brute strength. We said this last week, so we preach it today. Why is it that when we are in sorrow or when we are going through difficult times, instead of coming into the herd, we separate ourselves and expose ourselves to being vulnerable to that lethal and precise hunter? Notice, brethren, that Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 5 were not just to one Christian, they were to an entire church. And he was speaking to an entire church, where in chapter 4, he had just told them in verses 9 and 4 to love one another fervently, to minister to one another, to tend to each other's needs. He was telling them to be a flock, to remain together as a flock, and to protect one another as a flock. Because Peter knew what it was like to be surrounded by predators and to be the only prey that their eyes were looking at. Peter separated himself from the other disciples. Yes, John was in there at the inside trying to speak to his family members, seeing if he can get them inside. But nonetheless, Peter separated himself. Peter, as Luke is telling us, followed the Lord at a distance, but he didn't take any of the other disciples with him. He forgot the lesson that his master had taught him when he sent them in pairs of twos to go and preach the limited commission. He forgot how when the master himself went up to pray to Gethsemane, he did not go alone but took his three with him. He forgot the lessons the master was teaching him through practice. He found himself alone, separated. He forgot that in the parable of the lost sheep, the sheep became lost because it was alone and it lost sight of the flock. Brethren, this war that we are in against this enemy, who is very mighty and very powerful, is not one we have to fight alone. It's one we have to fight shoulder to shoulder, fighting together as one. But it's sad that many times instead of fighting Satan, we fight one another. It's sad that instead of many times of focusing on the real danger, we'll focus on the minor things that perhaps have no relevance in our spiritual lives. And little do we realize that it is this way how Satan is hiding in plain sight, working his trap to separate us and catch us by ourselves, as he did with Peter. It's amazing how what we've read and how we've seen that Peter speaking from experience is something that can be applied with all of us as a warning. How Peter got to the point of denying the Master. He started in verses 31 through 34 by being confident in himself instead of God, by strengthening his resolve instead of his faith. We see then that it continues that he was so confident that he wouldn't pray. He fell asleep and he allowed his sorrow, his emotions, to tangle him and get the better of him. And when the moment of time came that he came face to face with his adversary, when the time came when he was going to be sifted by Satan, he failed. And he failed miserably. He was injured because he wept bitterly, says Scripture. John chapter 21, after our Master has resurrected, we see that when Christ three times asks him, Simon or Jonah, do you love me more than these? We see that after the third time, Peter felt sad. He was saddened the fact that the Master asked him a third time, says John. The wound was still raw. The scar was still there, fresh, reminding him of his failure. He made himself an easy target for the lion, the roaring lion, who almost devoured him. He did not succeed, but Peter learned. He learned from his spiritual wound. He learned what he had to do that he did not do the first time. But then Peter shares with us his experience and echoes the same warning that Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. See, Peter thought he stood firm. Peter thought that he had what he needed. But he fell, didn't he? And the warning is that for those of us who feel the same way, we need to take heed lest we too fall. Doesn't matter that I'm the preacher. Doesn't matter that I'm an evangelist. Does not matter that I was born into the gospel since I was a little kid. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many memory verses I have, how much history, how well I can dominate the Bible, rightly divide it. It doesn't matter. Because it's not in me that I have to rely. It's not in my strength or in my abilities or skills. It's in God, my fortress, and my rock. Christ is our fortress, and it is in him that we find the victory. But like Peter, brethren, many times we lose our sobriety because our pride and our self-confidence begins to swell, and we begin to rely more on ourselves. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we start looking at man. And ultimately, when we open our eyes to realize the error of our mistake, we're already surrounded by the lions because we find ourselves alone fighting these ferocious predators. But brethren, we said it this morning and we say it again tonight. Satan can be defeated. He is not invincible. He is not unconquerable. In fact, the very first messianic prophecy is about his demise. The very first prophecy in Scripture is speaking about the conquering of the ancient serpent. And we too, brethren, can crush his head. But not in our own strength and not through our own skills. No. We can crush his head in Christ only. We have to remain vigilant and not fall asleep. We have to be sure not to be entangled by the issues of this life. We must be sure to always be together as one with the herd and not allowing us to be separated. We have to listen to the words and counsel of the Master through the Word of God, because he knows what he's talking about. But many times, brethren, we make ourselves the easy prey. We put ourselves out there because our pride gets the better of us. Now, my friend, this is where we want to help you get out of that predicament you find yourself in. This is where we want to help you get out from amongst those lions who are surrounding you, from that roaring lion who wants to devour you. We want to help you conquer him. We want to help you escape with your life. And like those gazelles who, when they see a lion coming, they begin to shout. They begin to make a sound, warning all of the members of their herd so that they can all run away. But today we are giving you the shout of the gospel so that you can flee from sin, so that you can flee from the clutches of Satan and come to Christ who is ready to defend you, so that you can come to the Good Shepherd who has already laid his life for you. Remember that shepherds in the ancient times fought off lions. They fought off bears. That's what Samuel teaches us about David when he spoke about fighting Goliath. Well, Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is ready to take on this roaring lion from darkness. But only if you allow him to fight for you. How, you say? How can I achieve this? By accepting the gospel and being obedient to the word of God. By changing your life and realizing that you alone cannot defeat Satan. By giving your life over to Christ through the waters of baptism. And then after you rise in Christ, with Christ as your fortress, living inside Christ always by being faithful unto death. Brother or sister, have you separated yourself from the flock? Have you allowed the trials of life, the pains of life, your pride, your overconfidence, have you allowed it to separate you from the rest of the herd? And are just now realizing that you are in a vulnerable state because you are not surrounded by your brothers and sisters who can help protect you? We want you to come back. Let us go to you and carry you upon our shoulders if you have been injured by life. If you have been injured by sin, let us carry you on your shoulders so that we can bring you back, so that we can heal you and nurse you back to health. Don't you want to come back and be in the presence of the Lord and the saints? You are subject to the invitation call this evening. We invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.